You just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan, and we're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, or life, and we're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their journey, their business, their story, their successes to help you create the success that you deserve, and you do deserve to be successful. Heck, you know what? I want you to say that right now. I want you to just sort of look around and say, I deserve to be successful. You do. Everybody does. So you listen to the show, you know I love quotes, and I like to start every show off with a quote. So here's your Set for Success quote for today. As soon as I saw you, I knew a grand adventure was about to happen. That was by Winnie the Pooh. Okay, Winnie the Pooh was a fictional character created by Alan Alexander Mellon, I think is pronounced. And he was an English author, basically lived around 1882 to 1956. Obviously best known for the Winnie the Pooh books. He also served in two wars. He was a British soldier in World War I and a captain of the British Home Guard in World War II. As for Winnie the Pooh, he was named after an American black bear at the London Zoo called Winnie, who got their name from the fact that it came from the owner from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Isn't that awesome? A little bit of, in case you didn't know, that little bit of trivia for you. It is very, very rare that I would use a quote from a fictional character. It just so happened as I was reading through the various quotes on the internet, as I was looking up different things for this particular show, that was the one that struck me the best. That sort of fit with maybe the topic we're going to talk about today. Having adventure and traveling is one of those things that we or can be done by alone or with a friend or with somebody new who's just come into your life. As a young person, you take a train, a bus, an airplane, maybe with backpack in hand, and you head out to discover a brave new world. And along the way, you expand your thinking, maybe your horizons, and hopefully build a little bit of humility. The world is a big place. As you get older, your travel needs change, maybe to attend family events or see friends or take a business trip. Away you go with bags in hand, ticket and passport in your pocket, and you're off for some kind of adventure, whatever it might be and wherever your travels might take you. Travel is just one part of our lives, whether we crisscross the globe or the continent or our country or just around our city. You're still traveling. We're all traveling all the time. A constant is the need for a plan and the ability to execute it. When you are full of independence, you have money, you're young, you're healthy, you can navigate the world on your own. But what about the people who are dependent, right? The people that maybe we call them the dependent traveler. What is in place for that person to take their journey on their own, maybe with a little bit of assistance? From a child who's going off to see the grandparents to a senior citizen who's just itching to see the world and needs a little help along the way. Maybe there's a traveling companion is an ideal or an idea that might work for them so that they too can have a Winnie the Pooh grand adventure. So as I gave today's show some thought, I wondered who could come in and share their thoughts on their business, their career, their services that are just around the travel area that help us maybe circumvent the globe. Someone who has been involved in the travel business and is helping people go from point A to point B who just need a helping hand. I'd like to take this opportunity to actually welcome Carla McDonald, founder of The Traveling Guardian, to Set for Success today. Carla, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard.
First question is always basically just tell us a little bit about yourself. So why don't you just tell our listeners who you are?
Okay, I'm Carla McDonald, and I recently retired from Air Canada. I have 38 years of airport service. I started with CP Air, for those that remember CP Air, Canadian, and from Canadian Air Canada. We were a Folklorama group of employees that merged together, and I spent 38 years of my life working with the public.
Yeah, working with the public in the travel industry.
Exactly.
Now, are you, out of curiosity, because you've been involved in the travel industry for quite a few decades, where are you originally from? Are you from Winnipeg, or are you from somewhere else and sort of found yourself transplanted to Winnipeg?
I'm a Winnipegger, born and bred.
Winnipegger, born and bred?
Yes.
Yeah, what area of Winnipeg are you from?
River Heights.
River Heights area. And what was that like for you? In the days of your youth and before you started working, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I went to John Taylor Collegiate. I was very active in the social community and From there, went to Success Business College to become a travel agent.
Oh, right on. So
and thoroughly enjoyed that. From there, I went to Brendy O'Brien. I don't know if anybody remembers
Brendy O'Brien. What is a Brendy O'Brien?
Brendan O'Brien was a family-owned travel agency in Polo Park.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And I was just 18 when I started there, and he was my mentor. I loved that family. And all the travel agents there were like family to me. We had a lot of fun. Those were the days where people wanted to travel. I had so many passengers come in and just let me decide where they wanted to go.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
amazing,
okay.
The trust that they had in an 18-year-old that just graduated high school.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved it. I loved helping people. If people came in and gave me a destination that I had no idea where they were going, I would quickly go in the back and look it up in a, that's the one we had encyclopedias.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's when it was all still paper-based, right?
I'd read a little bit about it and come back out going, oh, yes, Zimbabwe. Right, okay. And I know exactly where you want to go. And so I would help them with that. And I was very keen on having people protected back then. So I was known to be very detailed and wanting everybody to buy travel insurance so that they were covered in case there was any problems. And thoroughly loved my job as a travel agent. We got to meet wholesalers that wined and dined the travel agents, airlines that came to our door to tell us, you know, about their services. And slowly things began to change where travel agents had to work very, very hard for their money and no longer were they able to get commission from tour operators and travel agents and or tour operators and airlines, I should say.
Yeah.
And so the industry got a little tougher.
Trying to transition.
Yeah, really
and I know we're going back a little bit on the industry here, a little bit of history, but I think it's good for our listeners to know that, you know, you've seen many, we'll call it waves and changes within the industry itself over a long-term period of time. So those are all some very significant changes that actually took place. At what time, when did you leave the folds of the family travel business and found yourself in the corporate travel world? Because that's sort of the change that happened. Somewhere along the way, you left the family business. You ended up at like Canadian Pacific, right?
CP. 1979.
Right,
yeah.
And what was your first sort of introduction there? What were you doing for them?
I worked in the call center.
Okay.
I worked in the call center and took calls from all over Canada, decided to from there, try to do something a little bit more challenging. So at that point, we had a points desk where people, like we have Aeroplan now, I belonged to, or I sort of changed over and worked with customers that wanted to trade in their points for trips. And that was a little challenging because sometimes when you're using points, they're only a certain amount of seats allotted, and so
worked in that space.
Mm-hmm.
I know now that you've moved into this whole space of the traveling guardian. I always want to say the word companion. So I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about what you did in your past that brought you to what you're doing now today.
Sounds good.
This is Richard Lanford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Carla McDonald, and she is the founder and owner of The Traveling Guardian. But Carla, before we get into what The Traveling Guardian is all about, I sometimes like to do career arcs. And I think you have an interesting one because really you sort of went through the wave of a lot of changes within the travel industry over time.
I did. Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about your career, and then we'll talk about what you're doing today.
Okay, thank you. From CP Air Canadian and Air Canada, I worked at the call center for 8 years out of the 38. The 30 were at the airport with CP Air and Canadian and Air Canada. Working at the airport, I was a check-in agent, a customer service agent, a gate agent, and a ticket agent. I did it all.
You did it all.
I did it all. Yeah. And basically, I helped passengers get to where they needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds easy,
yes.
But once the passengers walked through the door and they saw those crowds, and by the time they got to the check-in counter, you really had to go slow and you had to be very methodical to make sure that passenger started their journey off right. Mm-hmm. And with my background, I also worked at the call center and with the international affairs desk and got to help a lot of people over the phone. So by the time I got to the airport, I saw that there were different needs, not just passengers asking where to go, how much the airfare was. At the airport, they were always requiring, not always. I mean, they rightfully so. They needed extra service, extra personal service. And I
suspect there was actually all sorts of different types of people with different types of needs, right? I mean, you'd have everything from the business traveler to the young family with kids to maybe the more mature family to the independent traveler who maybe required some assistance along the way.
It was leaving the call center and going to the airport was a real eye-opener. You're absolutely right, Richard. There were so many different types of people checking in. The business traveler, we hardly saw them. They checked in online. If they had a bag, they got their bag tag at the kiosk, and they dropped off their bag. Business travelers never, really needed us.
No.
Family members really needed us. Yeah. You had the couple with the new baby that was traveling with the stroller and the car seat, and they were very unsure of themselves. You had the senior that just started using a walker that wanted to remain independent, but we knew that they needed extra help, so we wanted to make sure that they felt comfortable. You had families going home to international destinations with tons of luggage. Yeah. We really had to be careful there because we knew that that luggage was very important to them, but at times we had to let them know that the baggage is overweight or they had too many pieces, so mm-hmm. we had to charge them. There was, every single passenger brought in something different to us. And not only were they just checking in, we had to check documentation. We had a lot of the elderly make reservations, but failed to give us their correct name.
Yeah.
And by the time they checked in, we realized that their name differed from their driver's license or their passport, and that caused other problems. So it's not, I always tell people, check in early because you never know who's in front of you, because that person deserves time with the check-in agent, but that person that's in front of them may need extra attention because of something that they were not aware of.
Could be an error or something not aware mm-hmm, of. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody knows now, or hopefully they do, and I'm a business traveler, right? I'm rarely a vacation traveler, even though even when I'm a vacation traveler, I travel like I'm on a business trip.
Right.
So it's the reason why I bring that up is because you learn how to travel. Like it's that if you are weekly going on planes, after a while, you know how to travel efficiently.
You do.
It's the
you
people
do.
That just go periodically, the vacationer that just goes once a year, or the person who goes every other couple of years or whatever, who can't quite travel right, they never, this is from a customer's perspective, from observations, they never pack properly,
right?
Yeah. They never have their documentation in order. Half the time they spend looking for their computer system. Like just, the list goes on and on and on
it
and on.
Does.
And so this is just from a customer's perspective who knows how to travel. Now, I find part of the fascinating thing is that you spend so much time in the travel agent industry, sorry, not just the agency, but the industry itself. I mean, you've built up a wealth of knowledge, but as you started to retire, then you decided that you wanted to get involved with this whole idea of, and I'm going to use the word traveling companion,
okay, because, no
but I do know you've named your company the Traveling Guardian. So let's talk about what is a traveling companion. Let's sort of start there for our listeners so they have an understanding or concept.
A traveling companion travels with you. They are with you on the flight. They're with you during your connections. If you're connecting, say to London, you're connecting in Toronto, your traveling companion will bring you to your family that's waiting for you at the arrivals area. They also, backing up a bit, look after your luggage. Mm-hmm. They look after any worries that you would have to look after, that they would have had to look after by themselves.
Yes.
If that flight's delayed and it results in a misconnection, that's really unnerving for all of us. Even if you're a business traveler, you know you're missing your flight to, say, New York or to London because of the delay out of Winnipeg, maybe because of a torrential rainstorm and there's lightning and no one's moving anywhere because the flights are grounded until the lightning stops.
But a savvy business traveler will know how to ask for the perks of being delayed and what the negotiate can get.
And the older adult or the new traveler
will not.
May not. Yeah. And now the airlines are very fine-tuned. They have enough staff to man the counters, but there are not a lot of extra staff to give you the attention of having, you know, letting you air your worries.
Vent.
Yes, and vent. And if the flight's delayed, most airlines don't have a ticket counter. Some of them have a customer service desk, but in reality, they will ask you to call the reservations office to reroute. And they already may be rerouted if there is a flight delay, for instance.
Yeah, a lot of that might actually happen. So what we'll do is we'll take a short break and we'll talk a little bit more about the importance of what happens when you travel and the idea of a traveling companion. And then some of the things that you can do maybe for people in your life who might need some assistance in the traveling. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello all, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Carla McDonald, and she is the traveling guardian, right? We're going to call her the traveling guardian.
Thank you. That's so nice. Perfect.
Right? Perfect. Just before our break, we were talking a little bit about some of the challenges that people have when they travel, mm-hmm. right? I mean, who hasn't gone on an airplane trip or a trip where there was a delay, right? Or the flight got canceled.
Or it's frustrating, right?
Yeah. Or you're sitting there, you know, the plane's delayed by an hour, or you've packed all your stuff and you've put all your luggage on the plane and now you got nothing. Or you're like, the list just goes on and on and on and on.
It does.
And that's not the complaint about the traveling industry. This is just the reality of traveling, right? If you travel enough, you see it all.
So true,
right?
Yes, I saw many people unpack during my 38 years.
A lot of
couple fights because they did not want to give up something when they were overweight. So,
They had to bring it.
It was sometimes a little embarrassing.
You know, I once traveled with somebody. It was as a team. They used to bring their coffee maker them, like a specialty coffee maker, because they had to have this coffee, right? And their bag was huge. And then I'd be with like an executive team. Yes, I used to be an executive. we would all be like, we would just have our business bags. But this one individual had to have this, like they had a whole itinerary. And they would set their hotel room up as if it was like a kitchen, you know, and it was sort of fun in a way because we could go back there and have these really cool coffees and stuff.
Right.
But
a little excessive.
Excessive, mm-hmm. you know. And there are people that are sometimes a little excessive. It brings in interesting around the travel industry itself. But going back to original concept, we were sort of saying that, you know, people need help, right? Like people need actual help to be able to travel and stuff. And I guess when we look at sort of a traveling companion or a traveling guardian, what are some of the things that, first of all, let's go back up a little bit.
Okay.
First of all, what are the kinds of people that generally need help? Okay, we'll go there. And then what kind of services and that might they require from a traveling guardian? So I'm going to just throw this to you for a second. My guess is that we're talking maybe senior citizens, right?
Yes.
Somebody who needs some assistance along the way. I'm going to say, because my wife and I raised the family, I'm going to say children. So I'm sort of answering it for you.
You are tweens. Right? Tweens.
Tweens? Tweens, okay.
I say tweens.
What are tweens?
They're the in-between. They're not 18 or 17.
They're not teenagers yet, but they're not under 11.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so tweens.
Yeah,
okay.
I call them tweens.
I haven't used that term in so long or heard it in so long. Okay, so those are like two categories. Tell us a couple others that might actually exist.
I've actually flown with someone that has a fear of flying.
And
that is a legitimate fear. You don't realize how petrified they are on the plane. I had fingernail marks in my hand for about a week.
Oh, really? They sort of really needed somebody to hold on to.
She really had a hard time. And the most important thing was believing her.
Yes.
And understanding that you couldn't just say, oh, it's okay. Nothing's going to happen. I was there. I held her hand. We flew to Kelowna.
Yeah, and yeah. So short trip.
Short trip.
I think that's an interesting distinction too. It doesn't always have to be long travel where you're going to Europe or you're going down to South America or wherever.
You could need a traveling companion going to Regina.
Regina, Calgary, Toronto.
It doesn't matter. Just boarding a plane sometimes will set the fear going.
So that's more of a psychological thing. So then we could say there's physical barriers, sometimes there's psychological barriers, sometimes it's just age barriers, right?
Very much so. Very much so. There's a lot of, I do a lot of presentations to senior resource centers.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of widows that haven't traveled in a long time.
Okay.
And they're feeling very, very vulnerable.
Yes.
And they're looking for someone just to help them through, say, their first flight.
Okay.
And they might want me to travel with them, but not necessarily stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll return home. But they just want that comfort that someone is there with them. And I say to a lot of people, if you have family, you know, see if they'll go with you. And I can give you information on how to navigate through the airport to make you feel comfortable with your family member. And some will say, I don't have any family in Winnipeg at all.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
That, you know, I want to go to Gander to my daughter's, our granddaughter's wedding. And I just need that support.
Yeah, they just need somebody mm-hmm. else to sort of travel along with them. All right, so when we get into like traveling guardian, that kind of thing,
right.
Or companion, there are all sorts of different types of services that actually might apply. And so before we get into maybe some stories, what are the key things that you actually do for somebody who needs a traveling companion?
What I do is, first of all, find out where they want to travel
mm-hmm.
and who's going to be at the destination. Is it a family member? Does a family member know that they want to go there?
Yeah.
Often it's sort of a wish list sort of thing. So I want to make sure that there's a family member at the other end, or and we work from there. We then look at airfares. If they deal with a travel agent, I actually take them to the travel agency, and we look at the best way to route them to their destination. From there, we make a booking. We talk about the return date, of course, as well. How long they're going to stay. Do they need me while they're at their vacation destination, or are they just going to see family and friends and they want me to return back? As far as the airport is concerned, I will arrange their transportation the night before so that they're taken by tap car or taxi, and I meet them at the airport and I'm with them. Sounds corny, but every step of the way, I literally, you know, walk with them. We check in together. I know what's in their baggage because I ask them what they're packing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's no worries. I carry their baggage. I look after their carry-on. Most important, I make sure that they have their identification with them as well, because we've had people checking in without their identification.
Yeah, they forget it or something, right?
Yeah, and yeah. Even if they said somebody could photocopy something and send it to them, photocopies are no longer accepted
at
airports. And so I'm with them basically through the check-in process, dropping off their bag, through security, which really does make a lot of people nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
And those lineups can be very, very long.
Yes.
And so I'm with them there, and I'm with them at the departure gate. Depending if we have enough time, we go to one of the airport lounges, depending on the airfare type. And then we go to the departure gate. We arrange pre-boarding, and I board with
the passengers. It's a very detailed process.
I am with them all, you know, through. So they don't have to worry. I'm the one that looks after any problems.
Yeah, so a traveling companion, that's basically what you'd be looking for any companion, that whether they're going, you said tweens, or going with somebody who has maybe a fear of flying or some other fear that sort of slows them down or stops them from traveling, mm-hmm. or somebody who has a physical maybe disability or inability.
Wheelchair bound, yes.
Right?
Yeah,
it's more age situation where they're now in their senior years and just having that additional person to actually go with them. And there's a tons of steps to go through, whether you are using modern mechanisms or not. Fascinating business that I think you find yourself in. I think what
I
we'll do is We'll come back. We'll take a little break and we'll come back. And we'll maybe get some stories from you about some of the situations or places you've traveled and with the people you've helped. You don't have to say names or anything, just the sort of circumstances. And then just sort of maybe how it fits with our listeners. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Carla McDonald. We've been talking a little bit about traveling. Carla, you're a very detailed individual. Just by the explanation, all the steps and everything you go through and when looking at working with somebody from a travel companion perspective. You know what? One of the things that I'm a curious person, right? Why does a person go from one thing to another? And I often think, you know, like, I know you retired from the travel industry, so to speak, but now you find yourself in the travel industry still.
Again,
why did you go from the customer service corporate area into this whole venture as an entrepreneur, being a traveling companion?
That's a really good question. I've always liked to be busy, and my son was going to university, and I decided that after 38 years, I just did not want to get up for 3:30 in the morning anymore, and I wanted to do something when I grew up. My son thought I had already had a career, but I said, no, there's something more that I want to do with my life, and I'm all about family. I take tons of photos. I give them to groups of family members just to keep everybody in the loop. And I thought, what can I do that helps people? And one year in particular at the airport, I saw so many people in need. It broke my heart to see vulnerable seniors by themselves, mothers that were not able to travel with their unaccompanied minor children because they could not get time off work. They could get time enough off work to drop them off, but they couldn't travel with them. And I've had many people say to me, oh, if only there was somebody to travel with me.
So that's sort of where it actually spun from.
It started there.
That's fascinating, because it's that finding that need in the marketplace, and then finding a way to fulfill it. It's one of the things that have always fascinated me, and that's one of the things that fascinates me about entrepreneurs in general, or people who are retired, right? And I think part of the reason why I bring up the retirement piece for you is that it wasn't, you retired, but you weren't done yet.
No, right? I wasn't. And
there's another chapter here.
I had 38 years in the airline industry, and I thought, what else do I know?
What else do you know?
What am I good at? And I thought, I'm good at this. I'm detailed. I care about people. When I see someone's hand shaking, I know that that person, they're not telling me, but I know that person is very nervous. I had a Paul Bunyan type of passenger. He was just this hugest man. He was so lovely. He was shaking so badly that I took him aside and wanted to make sure that he was okay to board. And I found out he had a fear of flying. You cannot judge a book by its cover. You do not know who needs help. I had that Oprah aha moment. I just thought, you know what? There are people out there that need help. I'm going to investigate how I can do this.
Yeah.
In a form of a job.
A service that you can offer.
And
so as we were actually saying, I mean, we're looking at some stories. Now, I know you've worked within the senior citizens area.
Oh, yes,
and,
yes.
And I can imagine that they have some very interesting challenges, right?
Very much.
So when you travel with a senior citizen, what are some of the challenges that they may have? Like the little tiny things that you might have had to do for them.
Right, even though you may say they're little tiny things, they're very, very important. This one elderly woman had rheumatoid arthritis.
Okay.
And she was served a meal, and she could not cut up her meal. So I just took her plate and helped her cut up her potato, you know, and her meat.
Yeah.
And that meant a lot, because if that wasn't cut up for her, she wouldn't be eating.
Mm.
And even though it was, you know, just a short flight to Toronto, she was hungry. And I noticed, you know, she was just staring at her cutlery. And I thought, oh, okay, I'm thinking she needs a bit of help here.
So I suspect also that you've probably observed in places different people that could actually maybe could use a traveling companion. Okay, do you have any examples of that?
Oh, very much so. I have, at, say, the airline check-in counter, I'll see someone struggling as they're standing in line. And by the time they get to the counter, they're a bit winded, and I'll offer them a wheelchair. And they're feeling, you know, that maybe they don't want one, but I highly recommend it because it takes, you know, a little ways to get to the gate, and I don't want them to be tired by the time they board the plane. And passengers that just need that extra push appreciate it when you're there for them. They don't want to admit it at the beginning.
And that's what I was sort of wondering about is, that, you know, do they want to actually admit it? I know in just sort of my own dad, now at this point he's not going to travel anymore, but it wasn't too many years ago where he would still travel and things, and he would say, no, I am fine.
Oh,
I can do this myself.
I see that a lot.
That sense of independence,
right.
That sense of I can do this myself.
Right.
I've always done it myself. I don't need anybody's help. But that's not the case, right? I mean, my thought is that you probably deal with situations where people need help, but they refuse to have the help.
They do. They'll refuse you, the son, but they won't usually refuse a stranger. Hmm. So if I can say, I've got this wheelchair right here for you, and here's what we're going to do, and this also expedites you through security, and you know, keeps you comfortable, and you're also pre-boarding. And I say it in such a way that it makes them feel a little bit better. They don't feel that they're being a burden, because they certainly aren't. But to their family, they want to show a lot of independence.
They want to show a lot of independence.
So I find that I usually can change their minds. Or, you know, any of the colleagues that I've worked with, they're wonderful. And they also, you know, we can spot, you know, certain passengers, when there's a problem,
and that's probably,
we're right there to help them.
Yeah, and that's probably a lot to do with experience and everything, too. So where do you think everything's going to go for you? Like, I mean, you've kicked off this whole new part of your life, and you've been doing it for a few years now. It's, so what's next?
Well, it's a startup. It's new. I'm obviously, with 38 years with the airlines, I don't have a business degree, but I have been going to the World Trade Center and taking business courses constantly. I'm almost a groupie of theirs.
Okay.
And so I have been learning that. The business world is completely new to me. I call myself a seniorpreneur. I want to focus on the airline industry. I want to help people. I want to do what I do best. What's new for me is I have a domestic meet and greet service. So if anybody's traveling just domestically through domestic security, for those that don't want me to travel with them, I will still be there every step of the way up until they board the plane. But I still wait for half an hour, because if that plane is delayed, I'll be contacting their family and letting them know, and I'll help my passenger.
You're waiting until the plane's off the ground.
Yeah, and if the plane ends up coming back, and I'll help the passenger with the airline's reroute. So I have all kinds of ideas of how to help people navigate the airport. I have lots of advice. I'm a travel facilitator where I present practical travel tips to resource centers, which I just love. And even a boarding card can give you so much information.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It just doesn't give you your name and your seat number. And so
there's lots of information.
Yeah, so
to
I'm
it.
Just spreading the word out there that airports are fun.
So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, right, if they had a website to go to or an email address, what would that be?
That would be www.thetravelingguardian.com.
Okay, so you can check out thetravelingguardian.com. Awesome. I want to thank you for actually joining me on the show today. I mean, who would have thought that there was like a traveling guardian or traveling companionship service that actually could be used to actually help people who have a need for assistance when traveling. Great, great service. For our listeners, you know what? If you're tuning into the show, if you listen to the show, if you got an idea, thought, or a question about the show, I always like to hear them. Just send me a note at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.